The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we've reached the second hour. We're glad you are with us. Jimbo Fisher joined us in the first hour. Some very interesting comments about all the criticism of his recruiting. And we also talked about NIL. More of your phone calls now at 855-242-7285. We'll head to Tuscaloosa, find out the latest there. A player essentially jettisoned from the team, and other ones in the portal. All of that coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe is in Charlotte. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul, just a quick question on the NIL. You know, let's suppose for just a second that a player, maybe a quarterback from Clemson, is getting a sponsorship deal from, let's say, a Dr. Pepper. Shouldn't Clemson be getting, and we'll call it a commission, I'm not sure that's the right word, by using their platform as Clemson and their audience, their national audience, shouldn't they be deserving of some kind of commission of what Dr. Pepper could be paying these players? Or should it be coming from Dr. Pepper and the sponsorships? It just seems like it's all focused around the player, which I get. But it just seems odd to me that the colleges who want to take a hands-off approach, they're not able to recoup any of the costs that come with their platform. They're providing a platform for these kids, but it just seems odd to me. I'll take it off air. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, it may seem odd, but you have to remember what NIL is designed to do. NIL is about the individual, the name, image, and likeness of a set player. The university can make all the money it wants off of its pouring rights to Dr. Pepper or Coke or anyone else. So I don't agree. I think the player doesn't need to share anything. Yeah, the university gives them a platform, but they also ask they recruit these players. The players don't call Alabama and Texas A&M and say, I'm coming. They are solicited, so that's really part of it. Thank you for the call. By the way, the Arkansas conundrum a minute ago, Arkansas did not win either one of the wire service polls in 64. They won the football writers poll, which declared a national championship back then. Let's check in with Wayne, who is up next. Hello, Wayne. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller from Ohio.
Great.
I just saw there a while ago at the bottom where the Hopkins boy has decided to leave Kentucky, which is a big, big loss. I don't blame him at all because I'm watching him play. He's a good player, but he was never allowed to play. He could make one little mistake, and on the bench he would go. When is Calipari going to start playing these players when he recruits them and quit standing on the sidelines and yelling at them rather than coaching them?
Wayne, I don't know the answer to that. Until the St. Peter's game, I thought Cal was doing a pretty good job, didn't you?
He has done a decent job, but there's a couple of players like, you know, I coached junior high a few years ago, and mm-hmm. It's different from what it is today. I realize that, but you have to have a point guard that can run the team. And right now, I don't think he's got one. He can make four or five mistakes, but he's never taken out of the game. Why?
Well, you tell me. You're a former coach. When you look at Cal in a game, what are his?
Go ahead.
No, I mean you're the coach. You tell me.
Well, I'm an ex-coach. I'm 75 years old now, so it's been a long time. But you have to have a couple of good guards that you can transfer back and forth, and Wheeler has got the potential, but he needs to quit trying to shoot over 7-foot players and be a point guard.
Well, Wayne, thank you. Appreciate the call. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I think Cal is under a lot of criticism. I think by the time November rolls around, Kentucky will be number two in the country, and everyone will be excited again until March happens. Thank you for the call. Dennis is in Oregon. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, Paul. I'm a 91-year-old Mizzou fan. I was born in Southeast Missouri, a stone's throw from Memphis. And when our players got hurt, we'd always go to the Camel Clinic. But anyway,
it's a great place.
I don't know why there's such a brain fog on restructuring the SEC with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. They could put Texas in the East, Oklahoma in the West, and that would ensure Texas would play Texas A&M. With eight teams in each division, and there'd be seven games. They already have crossovers where preferred scheduling could be arranged for desired opponents, historic opponents. It's not that difficult. They have seven games, then they'd have three in the division, and then they have three other ones that they could tweak and schedule crossovers. Why do they want to have pods and complicate the damn thing?
Well, first of all, Dennis, with that many schools, seven games really doesn't give you much of a representation. So there's a higher likelihood they're going to have nine games than seven. They're not going backwards. You have to understand that these leagues have contracts with television networks, in this case ESPN, and you need to provide conference games. So that eliminates seven. So if you go to eight or nine and do what you propose, it could be as many as 9 or 10 years before Texas perhaps would ever see Florida. And the coaches have complained about that. So this is just a working model. It is not written in stone, but I think it's going to be the model when there's finally some resolution.
I don't quite follow you. I think they have crossover games now.
Dennis, I don't think you understand what I said. First of all, you can't go backwards. Okay, you're not eliminating a conference game. Every other conference is playing nine games. The SEC is not going to seven games. So you either stay on eight or you go to nine, and that means it's extremely difficult if you have eight in each league. For instance, Alabama played Florida this year in Gainesville for the first time in 10 years. That is not a good league when you have teams that don't see each other every 9 or 10 years. Would you agree with me on that?
I agree with you.
Is the flaw.
No,
that's the holdup. And if you go to 4-team pods, everyone has three permanent opponents. You preserve the most important rivalries, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, whatever. And then you give everybody – the model I've seen is that you will see everybody on the other side, what used to be the other side. You'll see everybody within 2 years. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, that makes sense. Why don't they let Stanky figure it out? He's pretty darn smart.
Well, he is smart, but ultimately it's up to the – what he wants very, very desperately is some collaboration here. I don't think he's going to get it. Based on what I hear, there is a major division right now among the athletic directors. But it may not have to go into effect for two or three more years. So they do have plenty of time to work on it. Thank you for the call. Always great to hear from you. Let's continue with – Joe, who is in Omaha. Hello, Joe.
How you doing, Paul?
Okay, Joe.
So I've got a question, and this NIL thing is sort of new, but I just wanted to sort of hear what your thoughts would be on, for example, you had this Quinn Ewers out of Texas, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right.
You are signed correct.
He signed with Ohio State. He plays two snaps. And then he transfers, and whoever he signed his NIL deal with invested a good chunk of money into that young man. And he transfers after playing two snaps. I just don't see that sort of. I don't see how people are going to invest big chunks of money in people when you know, they up and transfer without even playing, basically. And obviously NIL is new, and there's going to be ironing out. I just wanted to sort of see what your thoughts on that are.
Well, first of all, Joe, I think you have to deal in basic contracts here. So if let's say Farmers Insurance signs a deal with Quinn Ewers, they have to put some clause in there that says if you leave, it will revoke this contract. I don't think any lawyer is stupid enough to sign a contract saying, okay, we don't care what happens to you. So they have to. I don't know what these contracts look like. It's a great question, though. And I think ultimately every agreement, which whether these players read them or not, someone is looking at them, has to protect both sides. That's the meaning of a contract. Appreciate your call. We are heading to a break. We'll get an update on Tuscaloosa. What's happening there? A couple of players, one leaving, one hitting the portal. What's up? Nick Kelly joining us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have all of you with us. We began the program with Jimbo Fisher. That was about an hour and 15 minutes ago. Nick Kelly joining us now. He covers the University of Alabama for the Tuscaloosa News. It's always great to see you, Nick. Thank you so much for making time. We only have a 4-hour show, so we may have to squeeze all the things that have happened recently in Tuscaloosa into a capsule here. But go through some of the bigger events, including the release of a well-known and star player.
Yeah, well, first off, great to be with you. And I noticed there's a caller from Minnesota, so Minnesotans are trying to take over the show because I'm from Minnesota as well.
Yeah, you got a long way to go.
It's a little ways away from home, but good to hear another Minnesotan. But, yeah, there's been a lot of things happening this week in Alabama, starting with the Jai Hall. He's a guy who has had a kind of up-and-down tenure with Alabama, started really strong last spring, actually. He had 4 catches in the spring game. Really stood out, had a lot of fans excited for his potential, and then just had some bumps along the road during the season. And yesterday, Nick Saban said that he's suspended. And from the way it sounded, probably not going to be coming back to the team, but that's not officially been made true. But he's not on the online roster anymore as of earlier this week.
What happened?
I mean, I think it's an accumulation of things, because even Nick Saban was asked about, you know, can he work his way back? And in his statement, he talked about, you know, he violated team rules, whether it's academic, whether it's other things. Like Nick Saban, it sounded like there's a list, the way he talked about it. So I don't think it was a one-time incident. I think it's just an accumulation. Like Nick Saban talked about respect. Like respect was not where it needed to be. And even during the year talking about where the preparation was not what it needed to be. I'm sure you remember back earlier that coaches conference in the offseason when Saban talked about the need for guys to be ready for opportunities and how there were backups who were not ready for opportunities. Now, he didn't name who those receivers were, but I think it's pretty easy to put the dots to, you know, draw the dots together, if you will, just in terms of Jai Hall being probably one of those guys, because in that game, Pro Football Focus said that he was targeted 7 times and he caught 2 passes, and he saw about almost half his snaps last season in the championship game when he came in to help out, and he couldn't take advantage of that opportunity. So I think it's an accumulation. And something where, I mean, and you hope for a guy like Ajay, who is clearly talented, that he can kind of get disciplined and figure things out because he's got the ability to be a good receiver.
Nick, this happens when you recruit talented players and the competition is extreme. But it seemed like We heard this last year, if I remember, with Billingsley, a player that just wouldn't seem to conform. And I'm not trying to make too much out of a couple of instances, because I'm sure there are always more than we ever hear about. But are these outliers, or is this just the way college football is?
I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of things where, especially in this era of the transfer portal, where you might hear more about dissatisfaction with the program or the way things are, you know, being handled, or guys, playing time. If someone's not happy with their playing time, or they think they're being wronged in a certain way, they might react a certain way. So I think it's maybe more indicative of the times that we're in right now, just with all these changes and athletes maybe, hey, the moment things get tough, they're out of there, they're thinking about other things. And so, especially with social media and the different brands that people build. And I mean, no one wants to be sitting. No one wants to be a backup. And some guys handle that differently.
Nick, in terms of camp, this is a talented team. It's always talented. You've got two of the best players, if not the two best players in the country. What else are you sensing from camp with another week and change to go before this scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Saban's always going to talk about the things he still wants to see from a team. But also, I mean, he's complimented this team. He said there's no complainers on this team after the first scrimmage. And that's some high praise for him to say that. And talking about just, hey, the team's not where it needs to be yet, but he's seen a lot of improvements. And so, yeah, it's a team that, like you said, when you got cornerstones like Bryce Young, Will Anderson, you're going to be in a pretty good spot. But right now it's about figuring out who the guys are going to be around them. It's developing that young receiver group that has to replace the loss of Jameson Williams, replace the loss of John Metchie, Slade Bolden. And so developing that chemistry with Bryce Young, and then also getting like the offensive line. Evan Neal is a top draft prospect right now. That's a big piece to lose. And this, I mean, Alabama's used to losing talent going to the draft. And so this is nothing new, but it's just another offseason of seeing, okay, who's going to be the guys that are moving in. And with the transfer portal, Alabama maybe doesn't have the bulk that a Ole Miss might have in terms of additions, but it does have some quality additions, where a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs, a running back from Georgia Tech, a lot of buzz around him right now. And you also have a guy like Eli Ricks, a corner from LSU. And so filling in the gaps, there's a couple guys who Alabama's brought in who are going to help continue to build this team.
You mentioned we had Jimbo Fisher on, and certainly Kiffin got into tete-a-tete with him. Saban had a couple of comments, but you could tell there was something going on when Fisher responded, but it wasn't as direct as the Lane Kiffin clown show conversation. Has Nick Saban had much to say about NIL and the portal and what we talk about here every day?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest, most recent public comment, I think, is almost 2 months ago now, where in Mobile, where I was there for when he was speaking to a crowd about what's happening and the changes in college football. And he talked about that this is not what NIL is supposed to be, where this is not supposed to be part of recruiting. Now, he's all for NIL helping guys out through, you know, Bryce Young, you know, almost, I think, what, 8 months ago now, where he, you know, news came out right before SEC Media Days about almost being a million-dollar guy in NIL deals. And so, you know, Saban's all for guys getting, you know, their value worth in NIL deals. But he was, you know, saying this is not what it's supposed to be. But at the end of the day, I think it ultimately comes down to, I mean, this is a changing landscape, and there's going to be some adaptations that have to happen as everyone kind of braces for impact and then tries to stay with the changes.
In terms of the calendar, you have the spring game. And then what? What is the next important date for Alabama? Does Saban, I know recruiting never ends, but what does the spring look like beyond next Saturday at Bryant-Denny Stadium?
Sure. Well, one thing, I don't know if it extends past next Saturday, but we're waiting to hear on where Tyler Steen ends up committing, the Vanderbilt grad transfer tackle. Alabama's in the running for him. And so that's something to watch that could be within the next few days. I mean, heck, it could happen today, but that's something to keep an eye on. So they're not necessarily done completely with the transfer portal. That's always with the transfer portal, not really having this is when it starts, this is when it ends. You always have to keep an eye out on that. But yeah, it's really just developing, getting ready for the summer and seeing how they continue to build, like he talked about, these leaders. And as they really look to replace a good amount of talent on offense and on defense, it's getting that group to gel even more, because this defense could be really special.
We have seen one of the great succession stories in history dating back to, 2015 maybe, or 2016 when Jalen Hurts showed up. Jalen to Tua, Tua to Mac Jones, Mac Jones to Bryce Young. What's next for Alabama? When we see the last of Bryce Young after this fall?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question people are wondering right now, and we're seeing some – they've got some promising quarterback prospects. You know, everyone's, of course, talking about Arch Manning's recruitment, but right now they've got two talented guys in that room. Jalen Milroe is back for another year. Right now, some good just feedback on him as far as his performance in spring ball so far. And then you have Ty Simpson, who's a freshman. It sounds like he's still kind of going through a bit of a learning curve, but he's a five-star guy. He's one of the top quarterbacks in this past recruiting class. And so, yeah, you've got some promise there. But, of course, it's pretty nice for them to be able to learn behind a Heisman winner.
Nick Kelly joining us from Tuscaloosa. Nick, great to see you. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for your time.
Great to see you too, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Nick Kelly, one of the outstanding young writers in the business right now, covering Alabama for the Tuscaloosa News. We head to the break. For those golf fans out there wondering, Tiger Woods is done for the day. Pretty good start for him, maybe a great start. A 1-under par 71. He is in contention again at the Masters.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Wade is up next in Tennessee. Wade, good afternoon.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Yes. My question to you, I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener, is there any way that we could hear some of the old stuff when you used to interview Pat Dye?
Wow. Yeah, I think some of that stuff is out there. Is there any – so other than Pat Dye, is there anyone in particular you would like to hear? I could probably find a way to dig some of those up.
Yes, the one that when you was interviewing him and he kept talking about Japanese maple tree.
Oh, man.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah. There were two really famous interviews with Pat Dye. Well, there were many famous. You know, sometimes you could hear the ice tinkling in his shot glass. Yeah. Those were my favorite. He would occasionally, he one time yelled at me and said, we were arguing about one of his former assistant coaches who I thought was a terrible head coach. And he yelled at me and said, you may know a lot about talking into a microphone, but you don't know more than I do about football. Now you hush. The favorite interview of all time was he had told me, I don't know if it was in the same interview, he told me about his meeting. He went down to Monroeville, Alabama, and spent the afternoon with Harper Lee. And everyone, well, most people, I should say, are aware that Harper Lee wrote one of the most iconic books of the 20th century, To Kill a Mockingbird, which takes place in Alabama. And he said, we had a good old time. I said, well, Coach, I didn't realize you were much of a reader. He said, oh, yeah, before I went down there, I read that book of hers, To Kill a Blackbird. And it became, in fact, the Wall Street Journal about 4 years ago did a story about Harper Lee, even though she had died a couple years earlier, about her affinity for college football. And in the story, it mentioned that. It also mentioned something that I don't know if I've ever really talked about here, that Harper Lee used to listen to this show, which makes me nervous thinking about Harper Lee sitting there in a rocking chair on the porch in Monroeville listening to Jim from Tuscaloosa call in. But anyway,
when you would have him and Coach Stallings on.
Yeah. We had Dye for many years. He started right after he left coaching, and then when Coach Stallings retired, David Upton, who with his brother's own Crane Works, the crane company that's known throughout the country, based in downtown Birmingham. Just called us one day and said, what if I sponsored those guys, and would that be a good thing? I said, yeah. So we used to have Dye on and Stallings on. I think they both were on Monday. One of them, Coach Stallings may have been on Friday as well, or I don't remember.
Yeah, but, I believe it was on Friday.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were – Coach Stallings would – he could be temperamental too sometimes when you pushed him a little bit.
Yes, yes. I wish you could just play some of them sometime. That would be enjoyed listening.
No, well, I tell you what. I will. You've done a. This is a great call. I will check on. I think I know somebody who has some of those tapes, and we will try to do that one day. I would say on a slow day, but that could be any day between now and the football season. Thanks for the call. Eric is in Georgia. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Saw your interview with the Texas A&M football coach.
Thank you.
You certainly kept the gloves on. I'd like to take them off.
Go ahead.
You used the phrase, and so does he, the word, recruiting, and so did he. They're not recruiting anybody. They're paying players to attend. And the method they're using is the coaching staff is identifying to the people who pay them the money to go out and get them to sign with Texas A&M. Texas A&M, throughout their history, they don't really have a football history. And now they have the number one class, and the recruits that they're getting, half of them couldn't even name the town in which the university is located. And the thing is, I loved it when he mentioned how they haven't lost any players to the portal, one last year and one this year. Well, why do you think that is?
Eric, I guess I should ask you, since you seem to know all the secrets of Jimbo Fisher and his staff.
Absolutely. They're paying them to stay. And the reason they haven't entered into the portal yet is because they're going to go through spring practice, see what their needs are, and then enter the portal.
And I'll just play dumb here for a second, which is easy for me to do. So, Eric, how do you know all this, okay?
Because it's unfolding right in front of your face.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I used to work at a newspaper, and I was an investigative reporter at one point. If I did a story, I would go into my editor's office, and he would say, okay, you've got something in here which says they're paying players. Do you have proof of that? Do you have evidence? Do you have any attribution? Which brings me to the question that I used to be asked all the time. I'll ask you, what's your attribution? What's your evidence?
That's what NIL and the portal do. That's paying.
No, you did not answer my Eric, you did not answer my question. You leveled a very serious inflammatory allegation about Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher, and your response was just
in
absolute subterfuge.
What did I say?
You have not answered my question at all. I'm asking you again, give me a specific. Is there a player that you're aware of that they paid for, or are you just assuming that they paid for everyone?
Listen, you're missing the point here.
No, I'm not missing
doing anything illegal. I'm not accusing them of doing anything illegal. They're just willing to take this pay-for-play further than anyone else.
And Erica, again, I'll ask you the question. And you know that how?
Everybody knows it. You said it yesterday.
No, Eric, I want to stop you. You can't answer a question I'll put you back in my editor's office back in the day. So he'll say to me, "Well, you're accusing Alabama basketball coach of cheating here." And everybody knows they do. He would throw me out on my ear. "I'm going to throw you out on your ear. You need to do better than that if you're going to come on a national program and make serious allegations." I'm aware of the NIL rules. I'm aware of the success that Jimbo Fisher is having. But it's very possible that he has changed the dimensions. And he alluded to it today. 2 years ago, they came in fourth in the country. That attracts players. Maybe players are looking at Alabama and saying, "You know what? Maybe it's over for Nick Saban. He's getting old, and Jimbo Fisher is young." I don't know, but you haven't given me anything but spurious allegations.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because their great class comes on the fact that they were 8-4 last year. So anyone looking at the progress of Texas A&M would say it's going backwards. But you are missing the point. I'm not saying they're doing anything illegal at all. They're just willing to pay more than anyone else. Do you disagree with that?
I don't have any reason to believe that is true.
Wow. And you don't think that they will... this is against everything you've ever said to me before.
Eric.
So do you think...
Eric, I'm trying to deal here in reality. I think Texas A&M understood the system better while Alabama and other schools were asleep at the wheel. I don't think
I agree 100%.
It happened to Nick Saban in the early signing period, if you remember, a couple of years ago. He was slow to adjust to that. For the smartest coach in the world, for the greatest coach of all time, he missed that moment. He caught up. He's made up for it. And I frankly don't think he really was sure how to get into this, because he knows that his program sells a number of things. You go to Alabama, you're going to be in the NFL. You're going to play for championships. And I believe he thought that was enough to survive the first year of NIL. He found out it was not.
I agree 100% with that assessment. Absolutely agree with it. But everyone is understanding that the circumstances have changed.
Well, the proof in the pudding, Eric, is not going to be what happened last fall. It's going to be what happens moving forward. We could continue this back and forth ping pong game all day, but we're out of time. Heading to a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here. And Vicki is in Arkansas. Hello, Vicki.
Well, hello, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Why were you so easy on Eric from Georgia? Tell him to get used to it. There's money, there's big money, and there's Texas money.
Being
you're
right.
A Razorback, don't have a lot of love for the Aggies in my heart, but the Houston Aggie Booster Club alone probably has more than the University of Georgia's foundation all put together, okay? He got out of the blocks. He got out of them right. All is fair in war and football. The SEC, Arkansas has been there since 92, and y'all still would treat us like the outlaws from the West. But, we have a dynasty in track, right? Baseball. Second in the nation. But when you write, if A&M gets it together and Texas gets it together and they come in, you can get used to them being very, very much at the top, especially with the pay, because Bryant was 0-6 against Texas. Okay? Bryant was 0-6 against Texas at Alabama.
Vicki, thank you very much. Mike is up next in Texas. Say hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are well. Thank you.
Hey, just one thing. I think it's interesting, and I thought you challenged Eric appropriately, not offensively, but every time you asked him a question, he wouldn't answer it about how factually he knows. And obviously I'm an Aggie, and I'm just sitting here enjoying the Masters and enjoying your show and going back and forth. But every time you asked Eric how he knew that we were paying more than anybody else, he had no fact other than just this, everybody knows they are. Well, how does everybody know something that is not factual yet?
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you. And I mean, he sounded like a perfectly decent man, except he was making allegations that had no foundation, which happens a lot. And I think what I do in this media bubble is somewhat to blame, because there are so many people that are in the business that have no qualifications, that have no real ability other than just to throw dirt against the wall. And I get it. I see it firsthand. But at some point, you have to be able to filter through that. It's the easiest thing in the world to insinuate that someone is doing something wrong. It's much more difficult to not. I'm not saying prove it. Just tell me one player that they bought out of the 25 that they recently signed. One.
I agree. And one of the other things, I think what most people have not been, they've not been to College Station. They've not seen the facilities. They've not seen the stadium. They've not seen everything it has to offer. They've not seen the history behind the A&M. They've not seen the Agassi legacy that anybody graduates from there. You're going to go into Texas. You're going to have a network of Aggie alums that will support you for the rest of your life. So I think some of it's jealousy, some of it's uneducated people, and some of it is just people are pissed off that all of a sudden there's someone that usually hasn't crashed the party that's now crashing the party.
Yeah, I consider myself fortunate, Mike, that I got an early look into A&M when they joined the SEC. And I've made very good friends out there with people that have shown me the ropes, from the governor of the state on down in the past. And I was at an event a couple of years ago of the former students, and I was shocked. I was just a guest, and the guest speaker was some ambassador to Qatar. I don't know where he was from, but he was very prominent Aggie, and he was, I did not realize the national reach of A&M. You know this because you're, but the global reach of A&M. It was mind-boggling to hear all this.
And I think that's what people don't understand, and the uneducated are just going to say, well, they're just throwing money at it. Oil and gas is now, with obviously everything going on in Russia, we have $100 oil, and everybody's saying, well, everybody that goes to A&M just makes millions of dollars. Not the case. We have a very loyal alumni, and the players are now recognizing with our facilities, hey, there's something different going on. I can't say whether and when we ever do it, but I think it goes back to all of a sudden you have someone else that hasn't been there that's now there,
right,
and they're all trying to figure out why.
Well said. I appreciate the call very much. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, long time, first time. Thanks for letting me on.
Thank you very much.
I'm a Bama graduate in Houston, fully aware of everything at College Station, because we go up there every time my Tide come to town. And I am kind of torn on this, because you have to wonder why a team that was nothing special this year other than a victory at Alabama. Now somehow, 1 year after NIL starts, possibly signed the greatest class ever. If that's who Jimbo was, where was he last year?
Yeah, but Mike, Jimbo Fisher has done this before. He signed a couple of classes in Tallahassee that were epic. He ended up winning a national championship. He went to the playoffs twice there. One time in the BCS, the next time in the CFP. 2 years ago, he made it clear today that, and I think people forget. Last year was a bust, and that includes beating Alabama. That game was, and they would have lost the bowl game too, if you want to be objective. So, but those things happen. It happens when your starting quarterback gets hurt in the second game of the season, and things dissipate after that. I'm not making excuses. I'm just stating reality. It can happen. Now, has it happened at Alabama under Saban? No. But Jimbo Fisher hasn't put the finishing touches on building this program yet. He needs to do it pretty quickly, though.